Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
What have you found, if anything, regarding cover-ups?
That's kind of a loaded question because I don't know that there's some district-wide initiative of cover-ups. There are, I know the district has policies and procedures in place to handle a variety of things of, if there's a violence or a fighting in the school, certainly if there's any kind of sexual assault, they've got their code of conduct. They've got procedures for how to handle various disciplinary things. And certainly if that isn't abided by, then there has to be follow-up. And I suspect that's where all of this came from. and of course, the district's got 30,000 kids. It's got several thousands of employees. And so if something does fall through the cracks and isn't handled according to the procedure, then it gets investigated, or at least that would be my hope. We have run into some instances with principals that may want to keep some of the numbers down as far as reports of fights, maybe, and not have that entered into the system teachers use to record that sort of thing. That goes against the district's policy, and something that I confirmed with Dr. Williams, who said that absolutely is wrong. That must be recorded. All that stuff gets sent to the state, and when that does happen, then we hold those folks to task as a federation. We talk with the principals, we talk with their leaders, which would be the associate superintendents, the ASLs, and we talk with the superintendent. I meet with her monthly. So if I'm running in any issues with any principals, and there's a couple right now, if we don't get anywhere with them on the union side alone, then I move it up through the chain of command, their chain of command. And if I don't get traction there, then there's other pressure campaigns that we can deploy to correct things.
How concerning is it that fights don't always get reported to the district?
It's more concerning that fights are happening. I mean, let's be realistic. If you are, if you grew up in the city like I grew up in the city, I got into fights when I was in school. Now, that was a long time ago. And it's a lot different now, and there has seemed to be an uptick in fights. You talk to any educator, you talk to any principal, I would hope, but certainly any teacher, any of my members are going to tell you it's very, very difficult to do your job if somebody's fighting in your classroom. Throws everything off. It can throw an entire day off, even if a fight happens someplace else, because they're kids, so they bring that energy to you when they come to the next class. Fighting is not something that's new. What we do need to do, though, better is how do we mitigate that? And years ago, when I started in the career, we had a more robust alternative education program. And that program had some of the programs, for example, City of Schools had students coming for half the day for academics, and half the day they would do an internship or some sort of CTE program. These sorts of things exist in other places. New York's got a couple of programs that are pretty robust that we're going to be, my vice president and I are going to be visiting soon. We hope to do that this spring, but it's been pretty busy. So this summer, we're going to check out some of those schools. And I think it's not a matter of reinventing the wheel, but take something that's working someplace else and tailor have some place to put kids who either experience recurring violent behaviors, then a traditional academic setting is probably not the right setting for them. But we got to have a place, because we have an obligation, the district does under New York State law, to educate those kids. Can't just kick them to the curb. They have a right to an education, and so we need to have some place to put them that they'll hopefully experience success without endangering other kids who are there to learn and my members who are there to teach.
In your time as a teacher, have you heard any student coming in with an allegation of sexual abuse, whether it happened in the class or more at home?
Of course. I mean, I've been teaching now for almost 30 years. And we've had situations before where students on their way to school have been accosted or confronted by somebody sitting on a bus and touched inappropriate by somebody else, a Metro bus. Walking to school, somebody pulling over and saying something. I mean, that falls right in line with the whole stranger danger narrative and how to keep yourself safe. Something like that occurs in school. Listen, everybody, all of my members, they're all mandated reporters. In fact, anybody who works in the school is a mandated reporter. There was just a new mandated reporter training that everybody was required to take to retain your certification. And it wasn't a quick 30-minute thing. This thing took up to 4 hours. It took me, because I'm still a certified teacher, nearly 4 hours to complete that as I made my way through the questions. And so everybody who works with students, just like everybody who works with in the medical profession, and every law enforcement officer is a mandated reporter. And so if one notices that, it's not just the school counselors, which I think is what was implicated in that video that was put out last week. It is everybody. And I can speak personally from somebody who's filed CPS reports for a variety of reasons, that teachers do it. Student support staff, such as social workers and psychologists, do it a lot. Of course, school counselors do. Administrators in buildings do. Teacher aides and assistants may, in their capacity, work with students. So when something like that pops up on the radar of a teacher, that is something that they will act on. I will tell you this, knowing my members, if ever there was a directive given by somebody in a leadership position to not report something like a sexual assault, the first thing that would happen after they reported that sexual assault would be the phones in my office would be ringing off the hook. And my members take the safety of the kids who they work with very seriously. I mean, that's why they went into the profession.
How do you feel Buffalo Schools, the upper management of the Buffalo Public Schools, how well have they been handling these reports in your mind?
Well, I'm not at the table when they've been responding to this, although I have spoke with the superintendent, Dr. Williams Knight, a couple of times. And they had the emergency, the executive session, the board meeting. They all met. They discussed the allegations. I'm sure that they reviewed their processes. They deliberated and are having an outside investigator look into the allegations. That is the appropriate response. It ensures transparency. It's not being done in-house, although they do investigations in-house when things don't go according to the process. I'm not privy to every single thing that happens in this district of, you know, thousands of students and staff. I can respond to the things that I know about my own experiences. Things may not always go according to the process, but that's why you have processes in place. So if there is a shortcoming someplace, if it fails along the way, then you can respond to it. If something if that doesn't go right, then you got to relook at it, or deal with it when allegations like this surface. You have to scrutinize every angle, though. We're in a big city. Buffalo is the second largest district in this state, and we have unique needs with regard to the students whom we serve. A lot of challenges, and there's a lot of needs in this in our student body. And so, what I didn't like about that, what was reported last week, was it's a few things. It took one brush and made a very broad stroke, and there were a lot them, in my opinion, dubious. And when I'm working with a principal, if I'm not getting anywhere with that person, I work up the chain of command. So I'll talk, I mean, in my own office, but I'll talk with that person's boss, the associate superintendent. If I don't get anywhere there, I'll talk with the superintendent. If I don't get anywhere there, then we'll work with within our office with our attorneys. We'll pursue this in whatever is the most appropriate way. There's a chain of command. I'm curious what the chain of command looked like if the detective was reached, it was getting interference, and wasn't getting cooperation during the investigation. Then who is his commanding officer? Who is his superior? Who's the person that he says, hey, listen, man, I'm trying to do something here, and I'm hitting the wall. Where did that go if that, in fact, happened? And if there were subpoenas, I got to imagine that if a court ordered a subpoena and somebody ignored it, especially a school district, that would be very difficult to get away with. So anytime an accusation is made, you got to take it seriously. You absolutely have to. And you do your due diligence to investigate it, do whatever is appropriate. That's the district's job. And, you know, the cards fall where they may. If there's credence to it, then there will be consequences. If there's not, are there consequences that go in another direction then? So I don't know. Like I said, I'm not privy to everything that's being dealt with. My job is to represent my members. And I know that there have been a lot of knee-jerk reactions to that podcast. That immediately, you aren't going to find anybody who's going to say, to disagree that child abuse and sexual abuse is wrong. Nobody's going to disagree with that, certainly not any of my members. But the response from that, and I'm sure that you've seen this in common threads on social media and in news broadcasts, and probably to this one after this is reported, tend to go the route of villainizing everybody. I got more calls from concerned members saying, in my 25 years, in my 30 years, I've been doing this for 17 years, and I've never seen anything like this where folks listen to something like that that occurred 2 months ago and immediately are going to for the throats of teachers who invest their time, their money, their compassion into the job that they were trained to do and they were born to do and they love doing. And it is a puzzling thing to me. If there's credence to a claim or an accusation, then you got to do you have to have consequences to it. And I think the district's doing an independent investigation. That's the right move. Let them handle that. My job is to protect my members. One thing that I'm trying to do in my role that I've been working on the last 2 years, and hopefully for the next 2 years, is look at the work that we do in education, my members, and I look at this through the lens of a teacher because that's what I am, as you can't look at things as these little silos. And I don't know if this is going to make your show or not, but this is more for your own edification so you know who I am and where I'm coming from. And so it requires people to work together. We, of course, have to work with the district because if we're advocating for more money or things that we need, supplies, if there's challenges and we need resources, the district has to bring to bear in order to correct issues. You have to have an open line of communication. Likewise with law enforcement. Years ago...
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
podcasting isn't just evolving, it's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.